of Islam. Only a simple review of these so-called fatwas will lead to a conclusion. All these silly rulings are in fact Wahhabi and Salafi fatwas, mostly issued by Saudi muftis, inspired by Wahhabi teachings, or issued by those studying in Wahhabi religious schools in Saudi Arabia. When it comes to what is falsely labelled as Islamist terrorism in Western mainstream media, certainly without fail, all terrorists in the bulk of terrorist attacks these past 15 years acknowledge Wahhabi motivations for their actions. Surprisingly, for many in the West, Takfiri terrorism has killed more Muslims than members of other religions. In other words, Takfiri terrorism has practically waged war against Muslims. However, there is another crucial yet bloody battle taking place inside the Muslim world. A life and death struggle from London to Jakarta between the true principles of Islam, derived from the core of Islamic teachings, and a superficial narrative of what is labelled as Islam, a narrative that contradicts basic logic. Diabolical and confounded misrepresentations of Islam are not restricted to Wahhabi fatwas only. Moral decay and scandals are thriving in Wahhabi schools and mosques, while most incidents are either not reported at all, or reported but not directed at the appropriate authorities. Sexual scandals have now become the new norm by Wahhabi preachers. Saudi TV preacher Feyhan Al-Ghamdi is just one of scores of sexually obsessed and ill-minded Wahhabi preachers. Back in 2013, he raped and killed his 5-year-old daughter. She had been repeatedly raped and burned. In a country where much lighter crimes are punishable by death, the Wahhabi preacher was set to be released after agreeing to pay blood money. And guess what such preachers are preaching Wahhabi followers on how to respect their dignity? Stupidity and corruption at their highest in Wahhabism are now indisputable facts in the Muslim world. While the Saudi Arabian regime still honours its nastiest clerical ideologues, the Muslim world is awakening to the dangers of Wahhabism and engaging in a deep introspective look at the sources of such phenomena in their midst.
Wahhabism can exist in religion without necessarily a name. Wahhabism is almost a natural aspect of the dark side, one can say, of religion, which is intolerance of any other belief system apart from your own.
Improper contextualization of true Islamic teachings and fossilized religious interpretations by Wahhabi clerics, amalgamated with the authoritarian edifice of the Saudi regime, have yielded a poisonous apple that is threatening the understanding of Islam and humanity altogether.
The Islamic world is slowly awakening to the fraud that is Wahhabism. But secondly, and I think this is a more powerful trend, unfortunately, is because of the use of Saudi petrodollars to spread this virulent ideology throughout the Muslim world, we find that a large majority of Sunni mosques are actually funded and used by Wahhabis to promote their teachings. And this is especially true in Western countries like the United Kingdom, like the USA, Canada, and so forth.
In their own ways, many Muslims have engaged in everyday acts of resistance against Wahhabi assaults on their faith. These include education, outreach, interfaith dialogue, and a rejection of those amongst them who hold extremist views. Islam has lasted and largely flourished for the past 14 centuries. Surely Allah, the Quran, and the Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, do not need protection from anyone, let alone the most heinous and criminal of extremists and the corrupt. Muhammad ibn Saud had an ambition of occupying Najd and ultimately Hijaz by making him disobey his seniors, who had suppressed extremist ideologies spread by Ibn Abdul Wahhab. In contrast, he would become a platform to fulfill his distant wishes. With the encouragement of his wife, Muzi, Muhammad ibn Saud met Ibn Abdul Wahhab and they came to an agreement based on which he vowed that Ibn Saud and his predecessors would support Wahhabism at all times. In return, Ibn Abdul Wahhab promised that he and his followers would never stop backing the Saudis. Over the next 5 years, Ibn Abdul Wahhab would strengthen the horrifying pillars of Wahhabism. Thanks to the newly born Wahhabism accrediting Muhammad ibn Saud, his son Abdul Aziz afterward, and his predecessor Saud ibn Abdul Aziz. With his incitement to take part in wars and the mass killing of opponents, the Saudi treasury became rich and their territory expanded in Najd, Hijaz, Iraq, some parts of the Persian Gulf, and other Arab lands. Ibn Abdul Wahhab was present in the majority of Wahhabi wars, fighting with weapon in hand. He was still alive when the disturbing shadow of Wahhabism spread all over Saudi Arabia and the Middle East. Wahhabis formed their merciless comrades, Muslim Brotherhood, from groups of bandits and fighters who could bring fear among people and change the history of Hijaz. Up until today, the family of Ibn Abdul Wahhab, also known as Al-Sheikh, is occupying high religious ranks in the Saudi regime. Ibn Abdul Wahhab lived a long life and died in 1792 in his hometown, where he is buried at the age of 91. The exact place of his grave is unknown.